pray for the little ones as they go off to school and spend time in the neighborhood and are influenced by people who love Christ around them. That's great and very important. And our lives before God, when we receive Christ as His, we become His children, and we have that freshness that God would put in our heart. And so for us to respond to Him as a child would, you know, with faith and just thanks to God for who He is. Well, in today's scripture, religious people hear about Christ being proclaimed and they get disturbed. And when you're disturbed, it might not be a bad thing, because it shows that you are alive and maybe coming to life in some manner. God shakes up our soul that way. There was a man in the passage of Scripture who was healed. He was crippled both physically and in his relationship with God. And when you can't help yourself, it's a very sad and difficult life. And so in our relationship with God, we start off with that slow walk of needing Christ to heal us. Well, Peter and John, who were a part of seeing the man not being crippled but healed, they begin to proclaim about Christ, and they say, everybody should know that it's by Christ that this man was made whole. And the question that the scripture asks us pretty much on every page is this: do you want Christ to be the one to change your life? It's a very scary question when you think about who the Lord is. Do you really want Christ to be the one to change your life? He's Lord of heaven and earth. His love brings changes to a heart that the heart doesn't anticipate or expect. When Peter and John started to proclaim Christ, they ended up in jail. So you might go from a life of somewhat ease and comfort to a life of tremendous difficulty, because you've decided to follow Christ. But Peter and John ended up in jail. They continue to talk about the Lord. I remember on one occasion being led into a jail, and it was a very scary experience. Pockets were emptied of everything I had. Police officer escorts me down the hallway, very lonely hallway, no windows. See a person in the distance in handcuffs with another police officer, and I started to think, boy, how did I get here? What am I doing here? I feel very sad, and I don't want to be here. And that was just as a visiting pastor, you know, not because of my traffic tickets. But God is merciful. I was there to help. But there was a lawyer there, too. So I talked with him for just a bit, and he found out what I was doing there, and he said, oh, a little bit sarcastically, everybody turns to God in jail. And the Bible lets us know this, that you and I are in the jail to sin without God's help. And there's only one who can get us out, and that one is Christ. And that's our disability, that's our condition of our soul, in jail and in prison without anyone to help us except Christ alone. And so Peter and John are finally released. They do what they do best. They focus in on Christ. They say this: salvation is found in no one else. And that's good news for your soul. If you're searching, if you're like the kids, I want to be a Christian. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to people by which we can be saved or set free from a prison house of sin that you and I would find ourselves in. Recently, 30 pastors got to meet with one of the presidential candidates, and they got to ask one question because the time was limited. And Franklin Graham was there. He's the son of Billy Graham. So he asked this question. I shared this with Sunday school about a month ago. He asked, is Jesus the only way to heaven and peace with God, or are there other ways? And because it was a kind of a confidential meeting, you really didn't know the candidate's response to any particular question, although that would have been a good question to hear the response to. A great question showing where a person's heart is at. Initially, you might think, well, you know, that's real particular from the Bible. What would that have to do with governing in any manner? Well, you might say to yourself, what does Jesus being the only Savior, how does that impact the way you govern your soul? Does it make a difference on a daily basis when you feel like you're in the prison of jail? Do you know where to run? Peter and John, if you were to ask them that question, they wouldn't hesitate, nor would they make sure it was confidential in terms of its response. They said, there's no other name under heaven given by which a person can experience redemption or saved. And how critical that is for us in our own soul. Is it Christ or is it something else you're looking to for health, for life, and for life eternal? Because when you think about it, there's only two responses to salvation that a heart can have. It's either Christ will save me or I will try to save myself and be very disappointed in the results. This is how people often try to save themselves. We should look at that as an alternative because this is how we get ourselves in a mess. First way you might try to save yourself is saying this, I'll try to improve myself. I'll just turn over a new leaf with my own determination and things will get better in my soul. When you try to do that, ask yourself the question, how is that going? Is it really the peace you were looking for by what you could do for yourself? Or are you still seeking for somebody bigger than yourself who can save you? The second response in saving ourselves is this. I'm good already. I'm a church person. I do the scripture thing. I do things that are helpful for me. I'm good enough already. And so why do I need the one and only Savior the scripture talks about? Well, we should know this. The Bible lets us know that if goodness or righteousness were because of our own goodness or our own turning over a new leaf, Christ really came and died for nothing. He really wasted his time. Being born in a manger, giving his life on a cross, raising from the dead for a bunch of folk who said, hey, we're good already. But he knew we were in desperate straits. So he came to be the Savior our soul needs. Or we might, this is what religious folks often get to in terms of saving ourselves, we might say, I'll rely on my religious practice to save me. It'll be my participation, even in something as wonderful as communion. If I participate in communion, maybe that I'll have peace with God. Or even if I'm baptized, I'll have peace with God. Because I'm trying to rely on something that I do to put myself right with God. Good news the scripture offers. There's no religious practice, even as good as the things that God's word commends, that could match the salvation and the goodness that Christ brings. And that will set your heart free to go after the Lord and to say, thank you, Lord. I participate in communion because of what you've done for me. I get baptized because I want to let everybody know I belong to the Lord. That Christ is stronger than all our religious practices. Wouldn't it be great to sense the presence of God, that Him in His personhood is your Savior at this moment, bringing love to Himself through your heart, assuring you and blessing you in every way possible. For your soul, is Jesus the only one who can save you? Get that issue settled. It comes as good news that Peter and John said this is it. Some would like to make it a religious debate. Well, if Jesus is the only way to heaven, what about other folks, you know, in the great big world of many religions and a lot of confusion? What about the Hindu man and the dear Muslim fella and the dear Jewish fella and the good old moral atheist? We know a lot of those, don't we? Well, what about them? Do they need a Savior or not? That's the question the Scripture asked. And do you need a Savior or not? Peter wasn't hesitant. He spoke to a Jewish folk, a group of people who were dear to God, but who were not looking to God to save their soul. And so our own religious background, whatever it might be, some church background that you had, helped you, you know, not kick the dog and be relatively civil to people around you. Christ would come and say, you need me. I am the only one who can save you from a life of sin and death. Jesus would say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come to the Father by me alone. That's what he'd say. In John chapter 5, Jesus would say, and you think in terms of our worship, that all may honor the Son just like they honor the Father. Those who don't honor the Son don't honor the Father. So Christ is a Savior coming to you. Absolutely necessary for your soul. Think of the alternative to salvation through Christ. The alternative to salvation in Christ, if it's not salvation, then we're left with damnation. We're left by ourselves, our souls hurting and broken and clinging to selfishness and sin. And an experience of that now and for forever. If it's not Christ, then it's hell without God. Hell is real. Hell is forever. Hell is fearful. And hell is fair. If God has ever dealt with your soul like he wants to, you will know hell is fair because of our massive rebellion against God. And he would do everything in his power and in his love to say, I'm the way for you. Have peace with God now and forever. So there's no one you need this morning more than you need Christ. Could you put your trust in him? That's what made this crippled man a brand new person. That's what made Peter and John change their life in a tremendous way that impacts people still. Jesus is our only salvation, and think of Jesus being the only one to rescue us. I had the occasion a couple years ago to call, thankfully, those who work in the ambulance service. Just dial that three numbers, 911. I was sick as a dog, couldn't help myself, too sick for my family to help me. I didn't want to put them through that. So you dial the numbers, and here comes the ambulance within, 7 minutes. And that's because I had no strength to help myself. Somebody had to come and teach me how to get health and get me back on my feet. And often as a Christian, we're in that boat. We say, I've focused on everything but the Lord. Huge, huge pattern that we could have in our soul and a huge mistake. But to look to him, and Christ is our only rescue. A Christian once strayed from God a long time. And he felt very helpless because he had been away from friendship with God. Somebody asked him how it felt, and he said, it felt like I was out in the middle of the ocean looking for land. Paddling, struggling, very helpless, and the current was taking me farther and farther away from safety. And he said, it felt like there were Christians standing on the shore saying, what are you doing over there? Get back here. You're off. You're out of bounds. You're wrong, and you're drowning. And they kept yelling at him while he is in big trouble. He said, but it did feel like one person jumped in the water and swam out to get him and grabbed him and took him back where he belonged. And then he said, that's what Christ means to me. He means everything to me as a Christian, that he would do for me what I cannot do for myself. Give me health. That's why Peter and John take their stand and they say, there's no other name under heaven by which you can be rescued but to follow Christ. Don't try to follow him on your own strength. Only he can rescue you. That's why people who are spiritually hungry often hesitate to turn to the gospel because they say, is Christ helping you? And you need to say, even in brokenness sometimes, yes, he is. He is my only rescue. And then Jesus is our only righteousness. Peter and John say this. They point to the Lord, and people look at Peter and John and say, we're amazed. These guys are ordinary, unschooled people. And we know this. They have been with Jesus. That wouldn't be a bad thing for people to say about you. It would be by the grace of God. We don't know much about them, They're not on the ball with everything, but we do know this. They have been with Jesus. And they would draw hearts back to God. Acts 3:36 says this, God sent Jesus to bless you by turning you from your own wickedness. Would your heart cry out to God like that today? Biggest problem you would have would be a sin problem. You might think it's a relationship problem, a work problem. The future looks foggy. Your biggest problem is still a sin problem. And Christ is the answer, much stronger and greater than your sin. He is your righteousness. Religious folks do this. We don't have a righteousness of our own, so we try to pump it up in our own strength. Romans 10 says, try to establish our own righteousness instead of submitting to God. He's the one. We can't even do that often in our own mind, our pattern of thinking. Once there was a man who was blessed by God, really 1,000 blessings every day. And he had faced a difficulty. His company was downsizing, so he was let go. And that devastated him in terms of saying, well, you know, why am I going to get up in the morning now? He just felt that loss in a significant manner. You might have another loss you're dealing with. What keeps me going? So he started to think of the few other things that were broken in his life. Was angry at the company and a couple other people, even though there were 100 people that he did love and who loved him. He thought of the 3 trials. Couldn't get his mind off those trials. Felt like he had to cry out and say, God, please keep my mind on you. Be my goodness, be my righteousness in this pain that is too big for me. And the Lord helped him. If you would cry out to God and say, God, you're my goodness in this difficulty I have, the loss I have that God takes seriously, Jesus, again, will be the one and the only one under heaven by which you could be saved. There's a song that says this about our thinking and yielding that to the righteousness of Christ. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day by His love and power controlling all I do and say. We need God's help just to think well, to think thoughts that are true and real from Christ Himself. And there's a promise for each of us from Isaiah 45. God makes a promise, and I like this about the promise. God says, my people will say this about me. So here we are saying it about the Lord this morning. My people will say this about me. In the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. Could you embrace Christ like that for yourself? In God alone is righteousness and strength. And He's the name under heaven by which I'll be saved, by which I am rescued, by which I have God's goodness. And return to the Lord in your heart as God points out the need for you. Whether you're like the disturbed religious person who said, that's not where it's at. Whether you're like the desperate cripple who said, I don't know if anybody will help me, but maybe the Lord will. God can make the breakthrough for you as you surrender to Him. Could you pray with me as we pray for people who have needs around us and also prepare our hearts for communion time? Just bow in prayer with me if you would. Father, we turn to you and we ask that you alone would be our salvation, Lord, even at a time of closeness with you at the Lord's Supper. We don't rely on communion to make us right with yourself or even baptism, but it's you, Lord Jesus. Ask that you, Lord, as a real Savior, would just knock on the door of every heart and there'd be restored fellowship or there'd be salvation received by a soul that you love. And just give life and life forever. Jesus, as someone would say, Jesus, be my Savior. Hear us as we pray to you. We just examine our own life and confess sin to you. Confess a embracing of Christ our Lord. Make us like that Peter and John, that he would say, well, Jesus is making a change in their hearts. Hear our silent prayers, Lord, about our walk with you.